The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, September the 5th, 2016. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 119th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: Deadline ran the announcement by the Museum of Modern Art in New York City of the slate of films in their Fall Bard Fest, a two-week-long film festival coming in October. Backstage ran a fun little story on how to act Shakespeare on film. It's a good read for our actors and directors out there. The Huffington Post ran a fascinating piece on Shakespeare's real estate business. Great stuff. Just Jared ran a video posted to Tom Hiddleston's Twitter feed as he played Shakespeare charades as a fundraiser for the Donmar Warehouse Theater Company. Very cool stuff. The Daily Mail ran the story on the cleaning process that the famous Shakespeare portrait is undergoing and how it may dramatically change his appearance. Let's just cut to the chase and say he may get a shave and a haircut. The Guardian ran a story on U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and the revelation that Rosalind from As You Like It is his favorite Shakespearean character. The Guardian also ran a piece on an ABC Q&A session with Germaine Greer in which she said that Shakespeare's timeless lesson is to make us think. The Tribune previewed Pittsburgh Shakespeare in the Park's upcoming production of The Comedy of Errors, running through the month of September at various Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania locations. The Las Vegas Review-Journal previewed the upcoming production of the hip-hop-inspired Bombity of Errors, coming to the campus of UNLV early this month. Broadway World previewed the upcoming fundraiser for the Shakespeare Center of Los Angeles, hosted by Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, featuring Smokey Robinson, titled A Smokin' Shakespeare Motown Much Ado, on September 19th at UCLA. The BBC announced that Shakespeare's Globe will live stream their production of A Midsummer Night's Dream on September 11th. I'm just hoping that it's not going to be a UK-only stream. We shall find out. The Boston Globe reviewed the recently closed production of The Two Gentlemen of Verona by Shakespeare and Company, calling the show giddy. The Gazette reviewed Much Ado About Nothing by Long Beach Shakespeare, running through the middle of the month in Long Beach, California, calling it fine. And then we have a boatload of King Lear reviews. The Guardian reviewed King Lear by the Royal Shakespeare Company, with Anthony Scher in the title role, giving it 4 or 5 stars and calling his performance unbearably moving. The Express and Star also reviewed the production running in Stratford-upon-Avon until October 15th, calling Sherry's performance a gem. The show will transfer to the Barbican in November, where it'll run until December, and the stage gave the show 3 of 5 stars, calling it strong but not definitive. What's on Stage also reviewed it, giving it 4 of 5 stars, saying that it mostly lives up to the colossal expectations that Cher and director Gregory Doran bring to the show. And finally, The New York Times reviewed the new musically-infused production of Twelfth Night by Public Works, which ran this past weekend in New York City, calling it jubilant. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On August 30th, 1991, Prospero's Books, Peter Greenaway's adaptation of The Tempest, opened in the UK with John Gielgud as the title magician. Innovative and wildly stylistic, the film has yet to see a legitimate DVD release in the US. On August 31st, 1422, Henry V died of dysentery during his third campaign in France. Harfleur and Agincourt took place during his first invasion, his marriage to Catherine of Valois during his second. His death left the throne in the hands of his 9-month-old son. On September 1, 1399, Richard II arrived back in London after having surrendered to Henry Bolingbroke at Flint Castle on August 19th. On his arrival, he was taken into custody and imprisoned in the Tower of London. Parliament accepted his abdication at the end of the month, and Bolingbroke was crowned Henry IV in October. On September the 2nd, 31 BC, the forces of Mark Antony and Cleopatra were defeated by Octavian and his navy at the Battle of Actium. This effectively ended the First War of the Roman Republic, allowing for Octavian to gather power, be named Augustus, and begin the Roman Empire. The Battle of Actium is depicted in Antony and Cleopatra. On September the 3rd, 1189, Richard I, Lionheart, was coronated as King of England, succeeding Henry II at the age of 32. Richard was the brother of King John. On September the 4th, 1455, Henry Stafford, the second Duke of Buckingham, was born. Buckingham was one of the supporters of Richard, Duke of Gloucester, in his rise to become Richard III. Some believe he was responsible for the disappearance of the princes in the Tower. Later, he would turn against Richard, but his rebellion was crushed, he was captured, and executed for treason. And on September 5th, 1990, Tom Stoppard's film of his absurdist play, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, premiered at the Venice Film Festival. The film starred Tim Roth as Guildenstern and Gary Oldman as Rosencrantz, with Richard Dreyfuss as the player king. While it won the Golden Lion in Venice and received some very good reviews, it was neither a critical nor commercial hit. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending September the 5th, 2016. For our blog and previous TWIS episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.